Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
On WNYC, and for the second day in a row, we're talking about things that happened after most of us were asleep last night. Yesterday, it was the city's survey of the homeless, which took place overnight. Today, in the wee hours of the morning, a vote to close 19 underperforming schools. It went through after a nine-hour marathon of impassioned hearings. Felissa Kramer, a reporter for the website GothamSchools.org, joins us now to tell us about what happened last night. Hey, Felissa.
Hi, Brian.
So why did this thing go on until 3 or 4 o'clock?
The meeting went all night because about 350 people signed up to speak. And for the first time this year, the Department of Education was required to listen to public comment about its proposed school closures.
And so talk about...
350 people got 2 minutes each.
Talk about public comments. Joel Klein, the school's chancellor, had a rough night of it when he tried to make some of his remarks.
Our first obligation in public education is to our children, and we must always keep them front and center in what we do.
Wow. And there was chanting every time he went to the bathroom or checked his BlackBerry or anything?
Absolutely. I wasn't actually in the room. Our two terrific reporters, Anna Phillips and Maura Walls, were, and they were sending me updates via BlackBerry that I was putting onto the site. Joel Klein did not bring out his BlackBerry until about 4 hours into the meeting, which is unusual for him, but when he did, he sure heard about it from the crowd.
A lot of the teachers, a lot of the people at the protest, according to your on-the-ground reporter, were not people directly involved, not parents of kids at the schools being closed or teachers at the schools being closed. Instead, they were other teachers who think the DOE's school closures have been arbitrary. So was this a grassroots rebellion against the mayor's policy, or was this stuff wrangled up by the UFT?
I think we're not totally sure about that right now, but it's definitely true that there are many, many people who are very angry about the way that Mayor Bloomberg and Joel Klein have made these school closure decisions. And teachers and parents at schools that aren't being closed this year are concerned that their schools might be next. It's not really clear how the decisions are made, why one school gets closed 1 year and why other schools are allowed to remain open.
These are 19 schools, many of them large high schools around the city, that are deemed failing. They have graduation rates around 50%. They have low test scores year after year. Other schools with similar demographics, the city says, have come up. These schools have not, so they want to shut these schools in their present form and open other schools in the district. Why aren't more parents applauding that?
Some parents are, but a lot of people are concerned that the new schools might not accommodate or serve the same students. And we heard from a lot of students last night who came to their schools with really, really significant needs. We heard from a student who was put in special education at her old school. Then she got to Paul Robeson High School. Teachers helped her. She ended up graduating near the top of her class. There's a concern that students like that might not be served by the new schools.
Who voted to keep the schools open? We should say that this Education Priorities Panel is appointed by the mayor. Is it appointed totally by the mayor?
No, the panel has 13 members, 13 voting members. 8 of them are appointed by the mayor, and 5 of them come from the borough presidents. And the borough president's appointees last night, 4 of them voted against the school closure proposals, and 1, the Staten Island representative, voted with the mayor's appointees.
So here is a student at one of the closing schools, Paul Robeson High School, an actual student, and listen to how emotional she is about seeing her school be shut down.
I started Paul Robeson High School last year, and I'm going to graduate this year. And you're trying to tell me that I'm a failure. I am not a failure. And I will never be a failure.
And another protester was Jane Hirschman, 2 of them really, Jane Hirschman and Lisa Donlan, who were talking about how this Educational Priorities panel that took the 9-4 vote is mostly under control of the mayor. Listen to how they expressed it as they did a hand puppet show.
Listen, education puppet, did you actually read the 20 educational impact statements that would talk about the schools that are slated for closing that you're supposed to vote on tonight?
Read? I'm a puppet. I don't read.
So issues about the mayor controlling that panel. It seems like most of the comments from parents were basically in two categories. Why didn't you do more to help our schools? And where will my kids go now? Did the board have answers for either question, as far as you could tell?
We didn't hear anything from the Department of Education last night, and we also really didn't hear anything from any of the mayor's appointees on the panel. We heard some discussion about procedural concerns from the mayor's appointees, and then at the very last moment, one of his newest appointees, who's actually a parent, made a very short statement in which she said that she, you know, the panel members were not there to rubber stamp the mayor's decisions. That was all that we heard from the mayor's appointees, and so we didn't get to hear justification for the closure.
And we had a parent on the other day from one of the schools that I guess was voted closed. None of them were voted to stay open, right? Everyone on the list.
That's right. All the proposals went through.
So that would include PS 332 in Brownsville. We had the PTA president on the other day, and she was saying, look, she's worried that there aren't going to be enough seats in the neighborhood. All they're talking about so far is opening a charter school, which wouldn't be as many kids, and you have to enter a lottery to get in. What's going to happen to the kids from big high schools and other schools that shut down? Are there concrete plans?
For most schools, students who are already enrolled can continue to stay at the school until it closes. It'll phase out and have one fewer grade each year. Other schools will open as space becomes available, and students who might have applied to, say, Jamaica High School before will now have a set of choices that include several small schools in the Jamaica building as well as schools throughout the city. There will be seats, there will be a seat for every student, but where those will be is still yet to be determined.
All right, a lot of change. Mayor Bloomberg and Chancellor Klein think they're trying to improve education by closing failing schools. A lot of parents and teachers and students opposed. Felissa Kramer, a reporter for the website GothamSchools.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.